January 31.
This meeting is being recorded.
So January 31, 9:03, we're opening up, calling the meeting to order. This is the Business Services Committee of the Orange County Workforce Development Board. Let's go ahead and start our meeting with a Pledge of Allegiance. Put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you for that. Let's go ahead and do roll call. Desiree.
Gloria Alvarado.
Present.
Jesse Benron.
Here.
Kathy Boyd.
Present.
Mike Daniel. Lorraine Holland-Lays.
Here.
Terry Hollingsworth. Annalisa Lukes.
Present.
Ernesto Medrano. Carlos Aragon.
Here.
And Todd Sword.
Here.
And we do have quorum, Chair.
Thank you. Oh, look at that background, Todd. That's awesome. Thank you all for being here today. I want to know about that. Let's see. I'm not seeing Karma on the call. So will I be turning it over to Francis for when we get to information items?
Yes, Karma's not going to be present today. So I'll help out with the information items.
Okay, great. All right, let's go ahead and move on to item 4, public comments. Are there any public comments at this time?
We did not receive any requests in advance. If there are members of the public that would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. Seeing no hands, Chair.
Okay. All right, thank you. Let's move on to our information items. And we have quite a bit to get through. Let's start off with agenda item 5A, business surveys, and we can just roll into item 8, job fairs quarter 2 report and CalJob survey quarter 2 report. Francis?
Yeah, Desiree, can you please promote Elizabeth, please? She's going to review these items.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry. There we go. It's a little better. Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Hoy. I am the Business Solutions Manager, and I'm going to review our job fairs so we can move on to the next slide. Desiree, please. Thank you. We had one job fair for this quarter, and it was the North Orange County Career Fair. It was in conjunction with Supervisor Chafee and Assemblywoman Quirk Silva, along with the City of Fullerton. We held it on October 19th at the Fullerton Community Center, and we had 94 organizations in attendance and 325 job seekers. So if you take a look at the historical analysis, our two highest career fairs were mid-pandemic, and those were virtual events. Excluding those two virtual events, this was the highest attended career fair that we've had to date. So always love a record set. It was a great turnout. We can move on to the next slide. So just to give you kind of an idea of the organizations that were in attendance, our highest sectors were government, healthcare, nonprofit, and education. And then our other included businesses like Clay Lacey Aviation, which is a private plane company. And then on the next slide is just a list of every single attendee or business organization that attended, if you would like a more in-depth look. And then going down to our survey results. So of the 94 organizations that attended, we had 84 respond to the surveys, which is a very good turnout for job fair surveys. So overall, question one was, how would you rate this career fair? And majority of the responses were excellent or very good, which is what we were hoping to see. How organized was the event? Was extremely organized or very organized? Next slide. How helpful was the staff in assisting you with preparing for the event and providing you support during the event? So extremely helpful and very helpful. And then how many attendees did you speak to during the event? So majority was between 1 and 20, but it went all the way up to 100 plus attendees, which is fantastic. It's a great return on your time. How would you rate the career fair with meeting your expectations in identifying good hiring prospects? So most met expectations or exceeded expectations, which is obviously what we're always hoping for. And then how likely are you to participate in a job fair in the future? Majority said very likely or likely. And then what would you like to see improve? So advertising and candidates are kind of answers that we always get, you know, regardless of how many people attend, there could always be more. Parking was a slight issue with this one, just because parking was across the street and off-site due to a farmer's market also taking place the same day. Food and water, we can't provide it, but they always want it. Location, because it was indoor and outdoor, so the people that were outdoors, you know, did not like being in the sun. We tried to accommodate with easy ups to shade them, but the sun moves. And then some people wanted resumes in advance, which logistically is just something we cannot provide. And 25 people said no improvements, which is great. And then on to the next slide. So our job seeker results of the 325 job seekers in attendance, we had 78 job seekers respond. Overall, were you satisfied or dissatisfied with the event? Majority said very satisfied or satisfied. How organized was the event? Very organized. And then next slide. How helpful was the event staff? You know, extremely helpful or very helpful. I am lucky that our team is great and they know how to work these events and they are great with everybody that attends. How many companies did you speak with? So majority spoke with 1 to 10 companies, but you know, some people spoke with 41 to 50 or 50 plus companies. And then there was 2 people that spoke with many, which is great. On to the next question. What did you like most about the career fair? So the majority answer was just the businesses present. They also liked the organization of the event, that they get to meet businesses in person, that the event even takes place. So those are really good responses there. How likely are you to attend an Orange County Career Fair in the future? Majority said very likely or likely. And I like to think that the 2 unlikely and very unlikely were people that got jobs and don't ever plan on job searching again. So moving on to the next slide, what would you like to see improve? Majority said no improvements or more employers or more diverse employers. Better jobs. They wanted the employers to conduct on-site interviews. They wanted us to notify of no-show businesses. Sometimes, you know, businesses just don't come the day of. So unfortunately, that's not something that we can control or really notify in advance of. And then some people wanted us to organize the booths by industry, but we specifically don't do that because we don't want somebody to only stick with a specific industry when they could miss out on opportunities walking the floor and engaging with other businesses. So we purposely kind of mix them in throughout the whole event. And then parking, like I said, because it was across the street. And then the next slide is just some event photos for you to enjoy. Are there any questions about the job fair?
Thank you for the report, Elizabeth. Are there any questions from the committee?
No, just a comment from Todd Sore here. Yeah. Just fantastic work. It looks like you had a great turnout, good people. I am kind of curious, you know, what do you guys do in terms of tracking of people who find jobs afterwards and, you know, any kind of way to stay with them to see how they progress?
You know, we've kind of floated ways of doing it. In regards to the businesses, we always ask that they update us. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that attend the events are recruiters, and you know, it's the hiring managers that make the final selection, so there's kind of a data discrepancy, and it's really hard to track outcomes for events like these kind of long term. We ask for, you know, more immediate data, but whether they give it to us or not is, it's up to them.
Right. Yeah. It's always hard to get that from follow up on them, but I'm glad we're trying. And it sounds like that the fact that they keep coming back is a good thing. So they must be getting some benefits from.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's great.
Well, Elizabeth, I have a couple of questions. It's Annalisa. Sure. Do you have a sense of how many no-shows we got from the business community?
I think we had space for about 114, if I remember correctly. So I think there were about 10 no-shows. We did try to fill them with people on the wait list that morning because we did have quite an extensive wait list also. But because it was very short notice, you know, most of the people on the wait list said that we can't attend since it's the morning of.
And then do we follow up to determine what happened? Did they just change their minds at the last minute?
It's a multitude of factors. So sometimes it's just, you know, we get emails after saying, I'm so sorry, we had an emergency, or I had a last minute, you know, meeting that I couldn't miss. There's a lot of reasons why they don't show up. We try to follow up that morning and call them, you know, the event starts around 10. So usually about 10:15, if people haven't showed up, we start calling them to see if they're coming. You know, a lot of times we just don't get a response. And so there's only so much that we can do. And that's when we try to fill their tables with somebody else.
Yeah. Okay. And then one other question regarding the photos. Thank you for sending these photos. The photos that are above where it says thank you, are these stock photos or are they from the event?
No, those are stock photos from when we rebranded. These are just photos that have been chosen for us to use.
Okay. I was just going to comment that I think those are nice photos.
They are nice photos, but yeah, unfortunately they're not.
Yeah. They don't look like they're like, you know, the stock photos that you would automatically say, oh, wow, they're stock photos.
Right.
They are stock, but they look like they could also not be. So I think that's great. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments? Going once, going twice. Okay. All right, let's go and move on to the next informational item. Who's going to do that?
So that will also be me. I'm going to be doing 5B and then 6A, just so you guys know.
Okay.
So business solutions surveys, we can move down to the next slide. So business solutions was engaged with 201 employers between October and December of 2022. The customer satisfaction survey was sent to 107 non-job fair employers. So the job fair employers received that job fair survey. We sent this survey to anybody who was not a job fair employer, and we had 16 responses to that survey. So this chart here is just a breakdown of the total services that were provided to those 107 businesses that were engaged. The 201, because we have the 94 job fair participants there. So that's just a breakdown of our services. We can go to the next slide. And then of those 16 businesses that responded, these are the services that we helped them with. So I do want to point out that some employers do get confused and mark job fairs when they mean hiring events. And that is, I think, what happened here. Because the hiring event number should be higher than the job fair number, but that's just the point I wanted to make. We can go down to the next slide. So how would you rate the assistance provided to you by business services or business solutions? So this is the actual work that we did for them. We had 11 five stars, 2 four stars, 2 three stars, and 1 two star. Can go on to the next slide. How would you rate the customer service provided to you? So aside from what we did for them, how did they feel about just their interactions with business solutions? Again, 11 five stars, 4 four stars, and 1 three star. And then next slide, how likely are you to use business solutions again? We always want repeat customers. The exact same breakdown, 11 five stars, 4 four stars, and 1 three star. And then we always like them to provide additional feedback to better explain their answers. So a few of the responses we got were, This was in regards to a rapid response that was performed by Bryn. They seemed very prepared and tailored the event to our workforce. They did a good job with their presentation. We're very patient with all of our questions our employees had. The Vietnamese translation was very good. My HR generalist that is fluent in Vietnamese was very impressed. In regards to a job fair, thank you for making it easy. This is in regard, the next one is regards to general assistance. It's great to have a partner that can point us to resources to help us grow our business through programs to help with staffing. In regards to a hiring event, we really appreciate letting us hold an employer spotlight hiring event, and we hope you will invite us to many more to come. I connected with Elizabeth Hoy, who's been very supportive and helpful, not only setting up the event, but also spreading the word about the event. Very much appreciated. Again, hiring event, the event was great. We did some interviews out of this event. We did get some interviews out of this event, and I would definitely love to attend again. Adriana Ott was extremely helpful and professional in planning the senior care industry hiring event. Looking forward to another opportunity to attend another hiring event. Someone stated that there was a small candidate pool at their hiring event. And then Elizabeth was super helpful and provided me with resources. Thank you. So that concludes our business solutions surveys. Are there any questions regarding those?
So Elizabeth, thank you for that report. Did I catch it right that it was 201 businesses engaged in the last quarter of 2022, and of that 94 so were participants of the job fair?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, so outside of the job fair, it's right about 100 or so over the course of a quarter?
Yes.
Okay. And my question has to do with sort of strategy or metrics or KPIs. Do we have goals or objectives related to how many businesses we engage in a given, and Todd's got a question, a given quarter, anything to that end?
At this point, no, because the team is just me. So it's really as many as I am able to do. Okay. Once the team is fully staffed, I think we will be creating metrics like that, but at this time we don't have any.
Okay, Todd has his hand raised.
Yeah, hi Elizabeth. I was gonna ask, how do these businesses find out about us? Like, how do those 94 businesses come to us to get assistance?
It's a wide range of stuff. So some businesses get referrals from other businesses that we've worked with in the past. Some businesses attend our career fairs and learn about our other services and connect with us afterwards. We get referrals from other organizations like other workforce boards or the Small Business Development Center, the SBA. So it's a lot of community referrals. Some of them know about workforce boards in general and look us up, or they find out about our Workforce Solutions Center. And once they've connected with the Workforce Solutions Center, they connect them to us. So it right now it's kind of a referral basis that we're working with. We would like to get more into the community and start, hitting the pavement and connecting with businesses that way. Right now, I just don't have the capability.
Sure, I understand. No, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, well, thank you for that. Hearing none, now, are you going to do, this is it, or was there something else?
I'll be doing 6A also, so I'll be covering the
okay.
hiring.
All right, let's go ahead and move into 6A.
And then that's the last you have to hear from me today.
Okay, it's all good.
So going into our hiring initiatives, we had 3 hiring events. This quarter, we did have to kind of put them on hold due to the staffing of our department. So we had our senior care hiring event, which was Assisting Hands, Brookdale, Crescent Landing, Oakmont, Sunrise, Fullerton, and La Palma, Senior Helpers, and Woodbridge Terrace. And that had 16 attendees at our Workforce Solutions Center. We also had a hiring event with Allied Universal at our Workforce Solutions Center. They are a security company that had 7 attendees. And then we had our first Smart Apply event. So that was our Smart Apply with OSERS, the Orange County Employees retirement system. And the idea behind that event was the recruiter for OSERS held a webinar where they talked about what their organization does, some of their openings that they have, how to apply, some tips for applying, some tips for interviewing, kind of what that whole application, interview, hiring process looks like, and then answered questions from the attendees that were interested in joining the organization. So it was a really good event. We had 32 attendees for that. And, you know, ideally we would like to expand that with other county departments to help with their staffing issues also. So we were excited about that event. Going down to the next slide with work experiences. Last quarter, beginning of this quarter, we had taken over the creation of work experiences. So we had seven, I think, if I'm counting correctly, developed this quarter. So it was Compass Property Management, hiring a property management assistant. This quarter, they actually had somebody in that role, but they left for college at the end of December. So it is currently active. Goodwill was looking for donation attendants and sales associates. We actually, I think last week, filled that sales associate role. Premier Ambulance is looking for an administrative assistant. Noble Path Foundation also has administrative assistant roles that are currently filled. Walgreens with a customer service associate, and then State Farm Insurance with a customer relations, and both of those are active. And we're expanding, so there's more that have been developed, you know, in January since this quarter has ended. So we're excited about those, and we have filled a few within the last 2 weeks. So we're making progress on our work experiences. On to the next slide with the on-the-job trainings. We had one OJT complete this quarter on the 18th of October, and that was our software developer with Creating Coding Careers. On the next slide is the active OJTs that we are recruiting for. So we have service technicians one and two with clean energy. We have a graphic designer role and then a batch maker role with an eco-friendly cleaning product company. And onto the next slide. OJTs that we had in discussion this quarter that did not get finalized. We had with Applied Medical is a maintenance. They're kind of determining what role they want to move forward with. South County Outreach is a food pantry, South County. And they are looking to develop kind of a training program with, when they create that training program, they want to do on the job trainings for a few of the training program roles and then potentially create a work experience for that actual training program. So we're excited about that one. That one's, you know, happening in the future, but we had that discussion and began laying the groundwork for that one. OC Tech was looking for IT technicians. Premier Ambulance is one of our work experience hosts already, and they were thinking about doing a director of first impressions. So kind of an office manager, HR assistant role, and then WinCorp Solutions with a marketing coordinator. And then for apprenticeships, we worked with two companies on developing apprenticeships this quarter. So BASF Corp is a chemical manufacturer, and they are creating an apprenticeship program for their production operators. So when we were connected with them, they had already registered their apprenticeship with the Department of Labor, but they are were working on getting it registered with the state of California. So we connected them with the Department of Apprenticeship Standards to get that process rolling. We needed to get them on the ATPL, the eligible training provider list. So we worked with them to get that on that application submitted through CalJobs. And then we are also working with them and the South Bay Workforce Board to get them onto iTrain. So once all of those are approved, we can begin placing apprenticeship or apprentices with them. And then we started the conversation with Bracken's Kitchen, which is a nonprofit that does food pantry, meal delivery, and they also have a culinary training program. So they are exploring the idea of creating an apprenticeship within the food service industry. And we are working with them right now to get connected to the Department of Apprenticeship Standards to get that started. We are also working with them to create a work experience for that food service program. And then onto the next slide. So this is the slide that we saw previously of just all of those services that have been performed throughout this quarter with all of the 201 employers that we were engaged with. And are there any questions on the hiring initiatives?
Are there any comments or questions?
Yeah, great work. I like the variety of type of companies that you're helping with in different areas. That's great to have such engagement.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, hearing none of the thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much, everyone. Support.
Keep up the good work. Let's go ahead and move on to item 6B, Business and Economic Recovery Call Center.
Who will report on this? Hi, good morning. So I just have a quick update on the Business and Economic Recovery Call Center. So to date, over 28,936 clients have been assisted through the call center. And between October 1st and December 30th, we had 1,860 calls. And just to break that number down a little bit further, we had 1,282 business calls, 479 job seeker calls, and 99 community-based calls. And the call center just continues to provide a lot of support to the businesses who are interested in or have received the micro business grant and any other services or anything else that they need. So that would just conclude my brief little update. Does anybody have any questions for me?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Any questions? Before we move on to the next item, I do have a hard stop at 10:45. However, Mike Daniel, thank you for supporting, and he will be taking over the agenda if we are still in meetings at 10:45 in this meeting. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to item 6C, Rapid Response and WARN Notice.
Hey, good morning. This is Bryn Hernandez, and I'll be providing the update for the Rapid Response and WARN Notice for the last quarter of October through December 2022. During this quarter, we received a total of 22 WARN Notices, which actually doubled from the previous quarter. Of those 22 WARN Notices received, 6 of the WARN Notices were within the manufacturing industry. 5 of them were from finance and insurance, 4 from professional scientific and technical services, 4 from healthcare and social assistance, 2 from retail, and 1 from transportation and warehousing. And then during quarter 2, we counted a total of 73 temporary layoffs that occurred within the quarter, and approximately 815 permanent layoffs. Of those 815 permanent layoffs, approximately a quarter of those were as a result of a facility closure. Sorry about that. Okay, so let me see here. Approximately a quarter of those permanent layoffs were as a result of a facility closure, and the remaining layoffs were just permanent layoffs, or, you know, due to a mass layoff. And then as far as our rapid response numbers, during the quarter, we provided individual rapid response services to a total of 3 companies. For about 2 of those companies, they asked us to go out to the worksite multiple times. So we did a total of 6 presentations within this last quarter amongst the 3 different companies. And 5 of those presentations were done in person and one was virtual. We did have a pretty good attendance number for those rapid response presentations. About 75% of the impacted employees did attend the rapid response presentations that we held for companies. And then our partners during our rapid response presentations included EDD Unemployment Insurance, EDD Workforce Services Branch, our financial partner, who's Apex Financial Services Group, and our department, the Orange County Workforce and Economic Development Division, and our OC Core program. In addition to that, we also continued to offer our rapid response webinars on Wednesdays via Zoom. And this webinar information is posted on Eventbrite, and it is also shared with employers during my outreach with them if they're not interested in individual services or even if they're not being responsive to my communication as well. And that's it for my update. I'm open to any questions if anyone has any.
Thank you, Bryn. Are there any questions or comments?
Yeah, this is Todd Sword again. I was curious, what were the three companies that actually requested you to come on site and help them with their layoffs?
So the three companies was Elwyn, California, and they are, I believe that's Fountain Valley, Safran Cabin Galleys in Huntington Beach, and Teva Pharmaceuticals in Irvine.
Mm. And all three of those had business closures?
So Elwyn, their Orange County location did close. I do believe that they have another location that's still open in Los Angeles County. Okay. And then for Safran, they are merging with other Orange County and I believe LA County locations that are still open. So they just closed operations at that particular the Huntington Beach facility. And then Teva Pharmaceuticals, they closed their Irvine location, but they are open still out of state.
Okay.
And so it wasn't
Elwyn and Safran?
Elwyn, they provided like adult education and rehabilitation type services.
Okay.
And then Safran, that particular location, they manufacture the cabins that are on aircraft.
Mm. Interesting. Okay. Great.
So, Bryn, did I hear it? Oh, go ahead, Todd.
No, I was done. Thank you.
Yeah. So, did I hear correctly that of the WARN notices, the total impact is it about 800 something or so
people? Yes. So, 815. Permanent layoffs, and that's just for this particular quarter. So that includes some of the WARN notices that we received this quarter and some that are rollover from the previous quarter that actually were affected in this current October through December.
And so do we track, or is there any way to measure how many of those 815 are currently engaged with One Stop or any of the other services that we have?
So we don't receive a list of the actual employees' names that are being separated from the companies. So it's difficult, even though we could run a report of individuals that are engaged within our one-stop system, we can't really match it to particular companies because we don't know what employees are matched with that employer. We just receive a list of job titles.
Is there any way to ask for that level of detail, or is that something that is not allowed?
I'm not 100% sure on that. I could definitely speak with Francis and Karma on that and see if that's something that we could ask for. I just know that it's not something that the state requires for an employer to include in the actual notification.
And we can look into that a little bit, Annalisa. One thing we are doing though is we're having our like dislocated worker program go to these rapid response meetings to immediately engage people, right? So the rapid response program is to goes out to with as part of the rapid response to try and engage the clients right then and there to get them to bring them into our centers, let them know what services we're offering and sign them up. And Anthony Rafit's kind of leading that effort. He's had quite good success where he's getting, sometimes up to 50% of the individuals are actually signing up for the program and coming into the dislocated worker program to get assistance in getting replaced or upskilling, et cetera.
And Jesse, I see you have a question also.
Yeah. Hey, Brent. War notices might be a little like too late, but is there a process of trying to then bring in GoBiz to see if there's state incentives that could have kept the business or looping in with Todd with his economic development rate? Is there any coordination there to try to see how they can maintain open before we address the employees' needs of getting laid off?
Yeah, that's something that we would be able to do during like layoff aversion services. So trying to catch those layoffs before the point of actually needing to submit a WAR notice. But yes, a WAR notice is pretty much past the point. I mean, the company's already made the decision that layoffs are inevitable. But that is definitely something that we could offer during layoff aversion.
Yeah, and thanks, Jesse, for bringing that up. Yeah, I've experienced that as well, Bryn, that it's a little bit late, but sometimes what we like to do, if we know a company is not completely going out of business, can we come in and meet with them and see if there's any other resources that can help, strengthen their operations, whether it's through state incentives with training programs or, there's a lot of different ways that we can help businesses lower their costs, get grants and those kind of things. So, yeah, but it's kind of tricky on the back end to try to do that. But it is good to get awareness. And I was curious, I'm part of the South Bay Workforce Development Board as well. And they're able to actually provide a list of the companies that have provided rapid response. And so I like to look at that and be able to kind of check on the power side if there's anything we can do on, from Edison's point of view, especially with the manufacturers, the big energy users. It's nice to be able to check in with them and see if there's any support we could do. So I don't know if that's something you're able to provide, but I know it's considered public information. So that'd be nice to kind of get a view of some of that. And, maybe Jesse and I can go down and visit these guys if there's anything left and see if we can give them some support.
And then maybe, sorry, to the whole staff here, but there is, have like businesses notified us of just them being distressed and maybe not WAR notice? I don't know if it's through the hotline. And then there is a connection again to GoBiz and Todd and anyone else who might, I think South Orange County has an ETP contract. Is there some, I guess, are you being notified in advance? And is there some coordination to help some businesses before they get to the WAR notice phase?
Francis, were you going to say something?
Yeah, okay. So we're not really getting too much notification. We are recruiting someone in our business services team to kind of oversee the layoff aversion side of house. We currently have a vacancy there, right? So we don't have anyone really manning that part. So yes, we can receive calls through our call center and provide support, but we're not, unfortunately, due to staffing restraints, we're not able to like actively go out into the community and implement a robust layoff aversion program at this time. We do have recruitments currently open and running, and hopefully we're doing selection interviews, I believe, in the next couple weeks. So hopefully we get some strong candidates through this round of interviews. Long story short, we're not really getting too much contact, and there's a bit of a hole in our business services team right now. We are looking to fill it and looking to grow that area.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
That was part of my question to Jesse and Todd and Francis. I'm curious to know if there were businesses that wanted to lay themselves of the rapid response and layoff aversion services, do we have currently the capacity to help them? So I get that we don't have capacity right now to go out affirmatively into the community, but if there were those needs, are we able to tackle and support them at this point anyway?
We do have layoff aversion funds available to support, and it could be as far as retraining that staff, right? So maybe they're changing their business model, or they got to shift their business model because of the state of the economy. We can retrain their staff with new skills so that way they can retain them. We can also help subsidize some of the costs of these swords or help place them in other jobs. So yeah, we do have layoff aversion dollars and programs available. We're just not able to ramp it up to the level we want to at this time, and hopefully we will be very soon.
I also did want to make a comment to Annalisa. So yeah. I don't believe in this quarter, but I know in the previous quarter, we did have some employers contact us through our hotline, and they may not have met the criteria to submit a WAR notice, but they still were having to lay off a certain number of employees, and they were interested in services. So even though they didn't fall within the WARN, we still provided rapid response services.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Again, I would be interested in getting, you know, contact information for some of these businesses if possible, especially on the manufacturer side, to see if there's anything we can do. Because a lot of it, Annalisa, isn't a whole lot of, you know, effort in terms of, you know, directing them to, you know, tax credits that they might have missed, directing them to ways to reduce their energy, you know, directing them to improve their, let's say, production flow with California Manufacturing Technology Consultants. So there's a lot of different groups that, you know, as part of their services can add some additional value to these companies. And, you know, I just love the idea of catching them early, right? You know, I like Jesse's thought of, it's not easy, right? Nope. A lot of companies don't just call them, hey, we're in trouble, you know. It doesn't, that's not very popular to do that, right? They try to fix things internally. But that's where it's nice. If there is the ability to catch them early and be proactive, then that's a win-win for everybody. So
I would agree with that.
Yeah, we'll get you a list of it, Todd.
Thank you, Francis.
Okay, great. Comments or questions or feedback? Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Bryn and Francis. Let's go ahead and move on to item 6D, our SEDS review. And there are 5 sub-bullet points within that. Who will present?
Good morning. I will present. You can go to the next slide. That's it. Thank you. So we've had lots going on this last quarter. For those of you who may have been able to attend, David Schinder facilitated Workforce Development Board training. If you were not able to attend, you can access it through the link, and we can send that. You may have it in your, you may be able to click on it in your PDF that you already received, but you'll have access to that training that he facilitated. In addition to that, currently we are working on our regional and local plan modifications. This is at the 2-year point, halfway through the plan, that we are required to do plan modifications. A lot of times it's, you know, not a whole lot that we need to modify, but in this case, we've got a lot of changes since when we wrote this plan. It was in the 2019, and it was during the pandemic. And so a lot was kind of unknown at that time, as well as a lot has changed. So we're currently working through that. We've held some community meetings. Our next thing would be that we're going to have a public comment period, which should land around, initially we were thinking February 1st. So David, I think, is now aiming for about February 11th. So it'll be open for 30 days, nevertheless, the comment period, public comment period, and we'll get that out to the board members and posted on social media and ads out into the community when that gets posted for that comment period. We just had our 3 boards meet on the strategic planning, which was also facilitated by David. Some of you may have attended the one that he did last year in June. We didn't quite get through all of our agenda. And so we had another meeting, and during that meeting, we went through creating a mission statement, our core values, and some goals. And so nothing was quite finalized, but we got a lot of input from the 3 workforce development boards, and then he's going to go back and kind of craft some things. And Annalisa did send us some options that she threw out there also that we were going to look at. And so he will finalize that, and we'll get that out to the board. And then we also got some input on the regional plan, again, also for that. And so we'll be working diligently to just really finalize the plan over the next couple of weeks and get that out to the community. Regional grants. So currently we have the regional implementation 4.0, RPI 4.0, that just closed on December 31st. So we're in the closeout period, the 60-day closeout period. We think we've got everything expended on that, but best we can tell, we've got one invoice that's outstanding that we're waiting from Santa Ana. But other than that, that grant should be fully expended. And then we have the Regional Equity and Recovery Program grant, which is starting. It was supposed to start December 1st of last year. However, the state is now just notifying of awards and doing the contracting. And so we have the contract that needs to go before the Board of Supervisors to accept the funding. Once that's done, then we will be able to kind of sign the contract. And at that point, it will start. That particular grant is a grant that it was done in partnership with our community colleges. So as a part of that, so under the one piece, we got $1.3 million, which is for the Workforce Development Board side, some basic system alignment type of activities, as well as covers the regional organizer position, which is my position. In addition to that, from the chancellor side, there was $10 million that were allocated for all of the community colleges throughout the state of California. So four of the colleges that we are partnering with are Orange County Coastline College. We've got North Orange County Continuing Education, Santa Ana College, and Saddleback College. Each one of those colleges received $140,276 from the chancellor's budget. This is the first time the state has ever done a grant where we are kind of had to partner with our community college in a way where it was funded by two different funding streams. And so we kind of had to collaborate on the grant application. We submitted it under the Workforce Development Board, and then their awards will go directly to them from under the chancellors. But throughout this whole program, we'll be collaborating and really trying to figure out how we work better together, align systems, and make sure that we're being able to provide comprehensive services to individuals. The target populations are first-time college students. They are English language learners, immigrants, and veterans are targeted as a part of this program. And then we have the Regional Planning Implementation 5.0. This is our typical funding. So as you can see, we had the 4.0 that just closed. So this is the fifth iteration of that. The RERP is the one that's new. So pretty much the same funding that we have to kind of do our regional work. They reduced the funding to, on this particular grant, to about $137,000, which is basically a lot less just because they put more money into the RERP program. The Prison to Employment Grant, Santa Ana took the lead on the Prison to Employment Grant. In that grant, we were awarded $927,341. They actually threw an extra $50,000 into that pot last week. And so Santa Ana will be working with, will be doing a, putting out an RFP, because they will be trying to identify providers that are willing to provide services under that program. They're not planning on necessarily providing those direct services themselves. So there should be an RFP coming out for that. And then on the Community Economic and Resilience Fund, there is currently a SERF Economic Development pilot project that's out. This pilot project basically is for economic development projects that are already kind of in progress, have some planning that has already been established throughout the communities. So they're looking to kind of showcase maybe something that's already happening that had some community-led economic development projects that were already going on and existing planning processes that were going on. So that is currently out. It's due February 10th, so only a few more days left to get that particular one in. I think that if you didn't have something already in the process, it would be very difficult to kind of go after that funding. It doesn't require that you are part of the HRTC in the particular language. It just basically says that you need to have support from the local boards, et cetera. And then from there, the state will facilitate, if awarded, that you become part of that HRTC. And I think part of that just has to do with the contracting, even for the SURF planning and implementation, planning grants, it's not necessarily happened in all areas as of yet. So I think that is why they are.
And now let me have you pause. I've got Todd, his hand is up.
I just was curious to learn a little bit more about what that community, who provides the funding and what are they trying to accomplish? You said, like, what's an example of a project that could apply for that?
So this is, the funding is state funding. Yes. And basically for this funding, the initial idea really is to have planning tables that are set up, right? So you may know that Orange County Business Council was awarded the SURF planning grant, right? So the intention is to have this planning grant help set up planning tables, which could be in multitude of areas. So everything from economic development to workforce development. This community, it's bottom-up economic development. So the idea is that you create these tables that are led by mainly community organizations, in that you're pulling in disinvested communities. So within Orange County, there are 11 communities that has census tracts that are designated as disinvestment according to the Cal Enviro screen. I would say Santa Ana and Anaheim have the most census tracts. So the idea is really to bring those people into the planning process of what they would want to see within their communities. And from there, plans be developed. Then it goes to the HRTC committee, which is the High Roads Transition Collaborative, is what it's called, right? It goes before and they approve basically projects for implementation. In this particular grant, they're basically saying if there were already planning processes that were happening, and some of this planning, it doesn't necessarily have to come from just like, you could have other planning that's going on within your community that would warrant you putting an application in under the SURF. And I'm just going to give you maybe one example, like it's the Fresno Drive project that it's kind of modeled after that. If you've ever looked at their, and they do have a website you could take a look at, but they're bringing, you know, all of these stakeholders together to really just kind of ensure that you have an equitable recovery, right? So you have all of this is at the table, the ones that are most impacted, right? Those underrepresented and those disinvested communities coming together and being a part of that process and having a voice in the process. So that's the whole idea of the planning tables. This initial little funding basically is for their basically if those things have already been happening in communities. So some communities have already started this process without this funding, right? Because this is a model that has been happening. So
backfill some of the good work and keep moving in those directions. That's great. Yeah.
So there'll be more funding. I mean, basically the planning will happen and out of that should come, you know, some projects and then implementation. Hopefully those go before the implementation, go after the implementation grant. They plan on awarding 13 projects. They broke up the state into 13 regions, with Orange County being its own region. They don't mirror the 15 regions that they have for workforce development boards, but there are 13 regions throughout California.
Interesting.
Great. And Annette, this is Natalie. So just to be clear, this SURF grant that's going to close in a few weeks, it's an implementation, sounds like, type of grant, but it's different than the implementation phase of the recently awarded planning SURF grant, right?
So the recently awarded grant is a planning grant that went to Orange County Business Council. So mm-hmm. it's planning. Then there will be more implementation funding that is going to be released.
However, this particular funding is looking to fund potential grants that can be implemented now.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Do we have a sense of who's applying or what collaboratives are out there?
I asked Jesse that question the other day, and I know he mentioned Cal State Fullerton. Conservation Corps was also looking at it. CEO Leadership Alliance reached out to me yesterday and said they were considering it. So Jesse, you may know better if there's anyone else that's on their hat in the room.
And these are all groups that express interest. I mean, Orange County Department of Ed through OC Pathways is another organization. But given that we have not started the planning grant and the HRTC doesn't officially exist, there really isn't an ability to coordinate one coming from Orange County. And it's just like, so it's just like a grant like any other. People know about it. If they're eligible, they can apply, and the state will award a winner. Most likely there'll be one winner in Orange County. But who that is, it'll be up to the state.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Then I interrupted you, Annette, so.
That's fine. Desiree, you can go to the next slide. All right. Some of you may have noticed I have a new background and we have a new logo. So we have rebranded the Orange Regional Planning Unit as the Orange Workforce Alliance. So thank you for all those who participated in those kind of efforts and provided some input. So we do have a new website. It's the orangeworkforcealliance.com. Please feel free to take a look at it and let us know if there's anything that you see that you would like updated, anything we're missing. It's still a work in progress. We still have some other ideas for it to add some pages and so forth, but we do have an online presence and I think it looks pretty good. And we have two brochures that, which is the Saddle Stitch brochure and a trifold brochure. One is kind of aimed at community and the other one is kind of aimed more towards the business community. So we now can kind of get that information out there as we're meeting with businesses and share what it is we do and really try to strengthen the business involvement in the workforce development system, as well as industry sector conversations as we're going forward. You can, go ahead, Desiree. So you can kind of see the brochures there. And there's links in the PDF where you can kind of click on and download the whole brochure if you'd like. So we kind of had a deadline before a grant ended to get these things out. And so Copy and Design did a really good job of working with her timeline. And so, although, you know, we still see things that we'd like to already update, which I think is always... always happens after you print stuff, right?
Oh, and of course, for those of you who were on the OWA planning meeting last week, many folks gave feedback regarding a vision statement and a mission statement. So imagine that's going to adjust accordingly. Yeah,
so there is one in there that kind of came from kind of Copy and Design's work, but those things will eventually adjust based on the work that was done with the three boards. That's all. Thank you very much.
Are there any questions or comments about any of the sub items under this?
You know, let me just touch base on a couple of, I noticed there are a bunch of other bullets here that I didn't necessarily touch on. The Orange County industry sector, so we, through the planning process, David will, you know, I don't know that those things will adjust, but currently they're manufacturing, healthcare, IT, and I'm missing one.
Hospitality
and tourism, sorry. So that's currently where it stands. So we are gonna kind of develop a strategy to restart our industry sector engagement meetings or projects, I guess. You know, we really need to kind of define how we move forward our industry sector conversations. I feel like in some ways I'd like to pick a project and support it and get behind it and have some wins and then try to bring other businesses into it. I think it's difficult to just ask people to necessarily come to meetings. And then if we don't get enough presence in there, it makes it very difficult to have industry conversations. So kind of working on a new strategy, even talking to California Workforce Association about it and also David Schinder. So just probably do something a little bit different this year to try to get those a little stronger and off the ground. And then on the SEDS does expire this year, June 30th, 2023, and the county will be doing an RFP to identify individuals or an organization to write the SEDS project, do the SEDS. Kathy, you have a question for me?
Not so much a question. Thank you for mentioning. I did want to mention the pilot projects just in case anybody on the call wants to has any idea of people that are still looking to potentially be part of the Economic Pilot Projects grant. We are probably going to be including the Orange County Conservation Corps and potentially CLAOC, and I think one or two other partners have reached out to me. The application that OC Pathways Orange County Department of Ed is putting together is very similar to the K-16 project that was awarded in the region. And so we're adding projects in that maybe are a little bit more last minute and don't necessarily have the capacity to build a whole application on their own. So we're on a short timeline here, so I would need to hear immediately, but if there is somebody who has some funding that is necessary and they wanted to be part of that, my email, I'll put it in the chat. We are potentially still available to add somebody in. So I just wanted to mention that and thank you guys for talking through that, that particular grant that's being processed right now.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay.
Todd, you have a question for me?
Yeah, this is Todd real quick for Annette. So when there's a final brochure available that I can provide to businesses, let me know, because currently I just use a link that to our business services webpage to send to businesses. But I think this is pretty much comprehensive for all of Orange County. So I'd love to include that in my resources I send out to businesses.
We'll send you, we haven't finalized, so we'll send, do you want some hard copies, Todd, or just like print
links? Just links, yeah. We don't do mail anymore.
Yeah, I'll get those to you.
Oh, that would be awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. I think what I heard, Annette, is we're looking to see how we can improve engagement with the industry sectors. And obviously, if there are folks here who want to provide that input or support, feel free to reach out as well, as Annette is looking to engage. Okay. All right. Thank you for all of that. Here we have other questions or comments. Let's go to move on to item 6E, the grant matrix. And there are sub-bullet points underneath that as well.
So I'll be taking this one. So for the grant matrix, these are our current grants that we have going. Starting off with the first couple, it's the regional 5.0. That's $131,000. And the regional equity and recovery partnership, which is $1.3 million. Those ones are still waiting on the start dates, but they should be starting up right about now. Still running is we have the California Microbusiness Grant Program. I believe we have funding remaining for about 150 still microbusinesses. So if there's any opportunity for you to share about the information about the program with the target demographic we're looking for, that'd be great because we'd like to get that fully funded. We do have through June 30th to fully expend. So we don't want to return any money to the state on that program. Next one's the CREERS Dislocated Worker Grant. That's a $3 million grant. We are looking to return those funds because basically we've not been able to staff the program appropriately to fully run the program. So we are looking to return those funds and then just run the Dislocated Worker Program through our regular WIOA formula funds. We've got VEEP, that's coming to a close here at the about 2 more months. I'd say they're probably about 95% of the way there for their goals, so they should be exceeding their goal there. That's been a very successful program run by Eric Ensley. Next grant is the 4.0, that one just ended. Then the STEPS program, that's currently going on, that's 264,000. And then the Prison to Employment Initiative, that's one being led by Santa Ana, which they're releasing the RFP for. That's $884,000. Any questions on the grant matrix?
So, Francis, I noticed that we have a couple. Oh, Todd's got a question. Go ahead, Todd.
Oh, no, I was going to ask, Francis, do we have like job numbers associated with like how many people that you plan to enroll in these different grants? Because I've seen that at the Workforce South Bay Workforce Board. They talk about, you know, enrollees, target numbers to get in. Do we track that as well for some of these?
Yes, we do. So those are kind of like the main metrics. Like, for example, the dislocated worker program, it was to serve 600 dislocated workers. The veteran, the VEEP program, I want to say it's 120. Don't quote me on that. I think it's 120. It's in that ballpark.
Okay. All right, great.
That's a good question. And maybe not to create more work, but perhaps adding a column that shows us what the KPI is for each of the programs might be a good way to help illustrate the impact. And then I noticed, Francis, that there are a handful of them that are sunsetting or expiring, I should say, shortly. Is there any intention to, assuming there is additional funding or renewed funding, is the county planning to reapply to the extent that there are opportunities to do so in some of the programs that are sunsetting?
Yes and no. So for VEEP, we haven't heard yet if there's going to be new funding for that program yet. It's coming to an end here in 2 months, right? But I believe the last time we found out with pretty short notice that they were going to be reoffering funding for that program. But what we are able to do is, so for our veteran service program, if we don't necessarily have the VEEP funding available, that specific grant, we can still use our regular WIOA program to keep providing services for veterans. And that's what we intend to do if the grant doesn't become available. Same thing with like the dislocated worker grant. Even though we're going to return those funds, we are going to still continue to provide those services. We'll just be using our regular WIOA formula funds to do so. So where we have staffing and the ability to provide the services, we will continue to renew. I'd say the only one that we're looking to surrender 100% is the National Dislocated Worker Grant.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? All right, hearing none, let's go ahead and move on to the last item on the agenda, which is EDD compliance and audit updates.
Well, we've kind of got, I don't know if you want to go through the the expenditure reports,
Annalisa? Sure. Better. Yeah, go for it.
We can just kind of go, it's a lot, so we'll kind of go kind of quickly. So right here is with the WIOA subgrant agreement. So this is basically for the last program year. So it was, let's see, 2020 through June of 2022. So right here you see that it's a decrease in the amount of funding. So that's actually funding that we weren't able to expend, so we're returning to the state. So you can scroll down a little bit, Desiree, and kind of see where we fell short spending.
How much was that, Francis?
It was 2.5 million altogether. 1 million of it was for rapid response and 1.5 million of it was for dislocated worker. You can kind of see the breakdown right here.
Do you know if returning funding back to the funder affects our standing? Should we go for additional or other types of funding with the same agency?
So this is WIOA formula fund. So they kind of give us funding. We don't really necessarily apply for it, right? This funding gets passed down to us and mm-hmm. they tell us how much it's going to be. Now, from the way I understand it, is if we have a track record of not fully expending, they're going to reduce the amount they send us and they're going to use that money elsewhere, right? So we want to spend as much as we can so we keep this revenue. And if we fully expend, There is potential for them to give additional funding. So
sure.
Giving money back is not good. It kind of shows that we're not able to provide the program services. So they'll probably, it can, if we continue to do so, reduce the amount of funding we receive.
I think I might have an idea what the root cause would be, but what would you say is the root cause for having to return? Is it staffing? Is it something else?
It's a good part of it, staffing, right? So our business service team is Elizabeth right now with Karma and Bryn and Nancy in support also. But we have some vacancies in those rapid response and dislocated worker programs. So we'd like to fill them so we can have a more robust program.
Okay. And I'm just going to ask a follow-up question. So are those roles, have they been open for quite some time? And are we having similar challenges to the rest of, I guess, the world, where we're unable to locate people, or is there something else that might be contributing?
Yeah, they have been open for a little while. It's been an ongoing recruitment. So we're constantly, and then the county hiring process is a little bit cumbersome, just to be, transparent. It's not a quick process to hire someone in the county. Unfortunately, we have procedures that we have to go through, but it is an ongoing. We have been recruiting, I want to say, these positions for probably over 9 months. We were on the last batch able to fill some of our vacancies, the last round of interviews, and we've got a second round coming up here. I think it's about another week from now. So hopefully we'll be able to fill the remaining vacancies and be able to ramp up service delivery. But then there's also that transition time when we bring in staff. We can't immediately start providing those services. Staff need to learn the program, learn the expectations, learn WIOA. And so there is a little bit of a delay there. But hopefully, 6 or 9 months from now, we'll be in a much better spot.
Okay. Well, thank you for being open about that. Okay. Are there any other comments or questions?
We do have a couple more if we want to scroll down.
Yes, of course.
Those are the funds we returned from the previous program year. And if we go down, I think it's going to be the new program year receiving funds. So this, scroll down just a little bit more, please, Desiree. Right here, so this is a little bit additional of the dislocated worker rapid response we sent back. So it's another million right there we sent back. And then, if you scroll down, please. And then these are our new formula funds coming in. So we started off with about $4 million for youth. And then if you scroll down, I believe it was $1.9 million was added for the adult program. Dislocated worker, yeah, adult dislocated worker funds were added there. So these are for our new program here, starting in July of 2022, and it goes through June of 2023. So this is our current batch of formula funds, the first round, and there will likely be a second round added to it, which will come next year. So it'll be July of 2023 through June of 2025.
And how are they doing, and how are we doing to date relative to those?
We're a little behind schedule. We do have a new service provider for our adult dislocated worker program. So it took them a little bit of time to come up to speed because it was a brand new provider, all new staff. So everyone has to come up and get training. So they're starting to pick up momentum now, but we are a little bit behind the pace where we'd like to see. But we are trying to put a little bit of pressure on them to increase. We're also trying to utilize our staff to start going out and doing a little bit more outreach for our programs to bring more participants into them.
Okay.
Scroll down a little bit. And so these are a list of the expenditures. I don't know if you guys want me to go through each month, but we've got October, November, and December for each of the programs. You can kind of see the expenditures for each of the programs. The job coding, so if you see right there, it says the grant code at the top. So the 540 and 541, those are the rapid response programs. The 501, that's going to be the dislocated worker program. The 201 is going to be the adult program. And then the 292 will be the layoff aversion program. I don't know, Lisa, do you want me to go through each of these or
just
you at your own leisure?
I leave it up to you.
I think I don't recall ever seeing these before, so this is good. Okay. Maybe just give the highlights if you would like.
Yeah, so, okay, so each one of these is for a month. If you see the where it says report period at the very top of each of the reports, go up one more page, please, Desiree. There you go. So right here, if you read the top of it, see right there, it says the grant code's 540, so that means it's the rapid response, and then the report period, so it does the year and then the month. So it's 2022, and so 10 is October. And so you can kind of see the total amount of the funds was spent, where it was spent. So most of it was in the unqualified obligations. And we've got basically one of these for each of the three. So October, November, and December for each of the programs. I mean, if you guys wanted to maybe review if you wanted to, and if you have questions, you can feel free to reach out to me and I can give you like more specifics rather than going through each of, because there's a lot of pages here.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So Francis, these are for each of the grants for 1 year time frame. I see the grant term is like
they're for July through each August. Is for 1 month. So each of these reports is for 1 month. So it's for October, November, and December. So it's for the last quarter of 2022.
Oh, I see. So, but the grant term shows the program overall.
Exactly.
That timing and the funding. Okay.
So it shows you what pot of money is coming from, but each one of these reports is for 1 month.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow, that's a lot. Okay.
Okay. Unless there is a specific question relative to that. Is there anything else under your subpoints, Francis, that we want to report out?
No, not on the expenditure reports. We just have like the EDD compliance.
Yeah, okay. Let's go ahead. And
there's not been much change, I believe, since the last meeting. Currently, we have some ongoing audits, which are going on from 2016 through 2018 for the WIOA program, the formula funds. Then we've got the dislocated worker program from 2017 that's ongoing. The youth monitoring is ongoing from 2017 through 2019. And you can see a list of all the ones which have been completed. Those are the more recent ones from 2019 through 2020, basically. Currently, we do have our internal fiscal monitoring compliance audit going through last program years. They're actually currently pulling participant files, reviewing and checking for accuracy, make sure we did everything correctly. That's about it for the compliance and monitoring.
Are there any questions or comments? I do have a quick one. And do we have a sense of why some of the ones that are still marked as ongoing? I mean, it looks like they're from 5 years ago, I guess.
So
2023.
It was some previous management, which was in place in our unit. And there were some findings, and they are going through in a lot more detail. We're basically waiting. Next step with the state, we've provided them what they've asked for and we're waiting to hear back what their ruling is. So it hasn't closed yet. So the case is still.
Have they given an ETA of when that would be?
No, believe me, we're waiting because we've got a lot of old files that we're holding on to because just in case they ask for additional information.
Interesting, okay. Any other comments or questions regarding EDD compliance? Yeah, I really like how this is presented. It's pretty clear. Also, the reports regarding expenses, that was really cool too. So thank you for all of that. All right, so we've come to the part of the agenda where we usually enable folks on this team to bring up anything for open discussion, whether it's anything that hasn't been covered in this or any prior agendas. And the idea around that is to give some space to talk a little bit more about potential strategy or tactics that we can have. I think the good news, though, is I'm seeing or at least observing that there are a lot more types of conversations or invitations to have more strategic type of meetings, certainly as between the three boards in Orange County. But that's what this open discussion item is for. So I'll open it up. Is there anyone who would like to bring up anything that is for us to discuss or even put on the next quarter's agenda? Okay. Going once, going twice. All right, hearing none, we'll go ahead and adjourn this quarter's meeting. Thank you all for being here and for your service to this committee and to the board. You are so appreciated, and looking forward to seeing you next time. Meeting is adjourned at 10:23 a.m. on January 31.